Justin Wong. It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
So,
yes, Northern Ireland.
Yeah,
Connor.
It's been a very sad day in Northern Ireland recently, and actually across the island of Ireland and across the UK as well. The great Northern Ireland peacemaker and politician John Hume has passed away aged 83. He passed away in his home city of Derry after a long battle with dementia. And just a lot of people won't have heard of John Hume, maybe, even people who were around during, you know, around the time of the Troubles might not remember who he is. So I'm just going to talk about what he did and just a little kind of brief overview of what he did through his life. So just to give you context of the Northern Ireland John Hume grew up in, we have to go to the aftermath of the Irish War of Independence in 1920. The British signed put a treaty in front of Michael Collins and they partitioned the island of Ireland. The Republic would be a majority Catholic self-governing state and Northern Ireland would be a majority Protestant entity within the UK. That was the partition. Northern Ireland stays, Republic goes. That devolved, the deal was also Northern Ireland got a devolved government. And what that situation ended up with was it meant you had in the south a conservative Catholic state under Éamon de Valera and Fianna Fáil.
And the Republic
of Ireland. And Northern Ireland, you had a unionist, one-party, almost apartheid state in Northern Ireland.
That's alongside with London.
And that was alongside with London, a devolved authority. So Northern Ireland had its own prime minister, its own parliament, its own governor. It was pretty much a quasi-state. But they were unionist one-party rule and a party rule that discriminated heavily against the 35% of Northern Ireland that were Catholic nationalist citizens, basically treated them as second-class citizens. John Hume started as a housing activist in Derry, trying to get better homes for Catholic families where often entire families were squeezed into a single room. He founded a gerrymandered council, which was unionist majority, despite Derry being a 70% nationalist city. They had a unionist majority council for the 30%. And so seeing no political path, he formed the Civil Rights Association after being inspired by Martin Luther King's passive non-resistance campaign in the United States. Singing We Shall Overcome, they marched through the streets of Derry and staged sit-ins demanding an end to sectarian gerrymandering, an end to the property requirement for voting, so that means one man, one vote, an end to Catholic discrimination in housing and employment, an end to sectarian police brutality, and the abolition of the unionist one-party state and a commitment to power sharing. The sit-ins and marches gathered people from both Catholic and Protestant communities and spread across Northern Ireland.
We are quite determined not only to be non-sectarian in Northern Ireland, but to be positively anti-sectarian.
But even as they were met with rubber bullets, tear gas and police brutality, even when the soldiers were deployed, and even when the civil rights movement ended with the massacre on Bloody Sunday and the rise of the provisional IRA, Hume remained committed to non-violence and protest through passive non-resistance. He believed that violence against the British state and against the Northern Ireland government would lead to an endless sectarian war, and that a political settlement founded on the basis of equality was needed.
We can react in anger, and our anger is just, but we must look to where our anger and the actions that arise from it are leading us. When we first took to the streets, we went there with our bare hands. We were beaten off the streets, and the world came to our side because it was very clear that we were not aggressors, that we were in fact a defenseless people with a just cause. And the pressure of world opinion forced the change. If we are engaged in a confrontation situation with soldiers, there is no point in throwing stones or petrol bombs or shooting at them, but there is plenty of point in sitting down and saying, throw your water, throw your gas, shoot your rubber bullets, shoot even your lead bullets, but we shall not be moved.
Hume carried these values through 30 years of carnage, through every atrocity by the British state and the paramilitary groups. He used his position as MP for Foyle to lobby Westminster for a solution and was dragged through the mud by the Murdoch tabloids in the 80s after engaging in secret talks with the IRA to find a compromise. Even after all this, Hume's lasting achievement was in 1998, when the values of equality, mutual understanding, and a shared home place were realized in the Good Friday Agreement. He maintained that a political solution agreed upon by all parties in Ireland and both governments was needed to end the conflict. 22 years later, the peace and equality he fought so long for has so far lasted and hopefully outlive him long after he's passed.
Right, I might just chip in a question on this.
Sure.
So we know quite more about both Catholic and Protestant leaders like Ian Paisley Jr. and Ian Paisley and Gerry Adams during the Troubles. They're much more well known than John Hume. And admittedly, I only first heard about his name when the news broke out. So. Mm. What's the relation like between John Hume? He's Catholic himself,
so,
isn't he?
So John Hume was a Catholic nationalist from the Bogside in Derry, which is very, very poor. I think it's still in one of the top poorest areas of the United Kingdom. And his relationship to Ian Paisley and Sinn Féin was strained because although he brought Sinn Féin towards a ceasefire, he didn't bring them. They'd never signed the Good Friday. Were they signatories to the Good Friday Agreement? I don't think they were full signatories to the Good Friday Agreement. They basically, they needed another agreement in 2007, Ian Paisley and Gerry Adams to sign. Ian Paisley's relationship to Hume was just flat out hated the man. In the 60s, when they were doing civil rights, Paisley was leading reactionary gangs of people to beat up civil rights protesters. He stood in every campaign against reform for equality for the Catholic population. He was accused of ginning people up for sectarian rioting. They were diametrically opposed. But I think by the end of Paisley's life, as he softened a bit,
But still, there are some factions of the IRA until today still oppose the Good Friday Agreement, isn't it?
There are, but for the majority, in terms of community support, and that's what, no armed group is successful without the support of the community they represent. And the difference is that community support went with Hume towards peaceful reconciliation. It didn't stay with those men today who have the guns. So, I mean, if we go back to Hume's memory, like how he will be remembered, I truly believe sincerely that he will be remembered in the same breath as MLK or Gandhi as one of the 20th century's greatest peacemakers and proponents of passive non-resistance. So Daniel O'Connell he was the man who successfully fought for Roman Catholics to have the right to vote in the British Empire in the UK in 1829, was nicknamed the Great Liberator. I would say that John Hume is more worthy of taking that name today, that passed the baton, because not only did he liberate Ireland from 800 years, essentially, of war on and off, he created a peace that gives the space for generations to be liberated from their own prejudices and eventually unifies one people by their own consent, by their own free will, by interacting with one another and on their own admission, breaking down those prejudices that they may have held. And for that, Ireland owes Hume a great debt of gratitude, and the world will mourn one of the greatest peacemakers of our time.
And technically, because of his work, we see this period of peace.
Yeah, I have John Hume to thank for the fact that I never knew Ireland, Northern Ireland, through war. And my generation never knew Ireland, Northern Ireland, through war. They lived entirely in peace, and that is entirely down to Hume and his ideals and how his ideals shaped the Good Friday Agreement.
Difference is of the essence of humanity. And therefore, respect for difference should be very, very normal and very common. But it is the first and deepest principle of real peace.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.